Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Jack Watts for Jack Watts Live, broadcasting to you today from the 10th floor of the We Believe Tower in Midtown Atlanta, overlooking the majestic Buckhead skyline, where the day is magnificent and crisp and cool for Atlanta, which is reminiscent of the springtime in Boston, where I grew up. Back in the day, when there were Democrats who actually were patriotic and didn't want to see the dismantling of the United States of America, which is what is happening now. As you can tell, we live in a big city, and the ambulances and all the rest of it go by just repeatedly. Now, there are a lot of things to talk about. Today is the last day before the midterm elections, the primaries for them. And that means that there are a lot of candidates that are going to be set, and we're going to know, for the most part, where the Republicans and where the Democrats are going to be for this upcoming fall. There's another nice thing to understand as we're talking about this stuff, too. We are almost to the one-year anniversary of where Barack Hussein Obama went into negative numbers on the Real Clear Politics averages, and he has not been in positive numbers since. His approval is 44% right now, disapproval 51.8. It's been above 50% for a year, and that is a substantial amount of time. Occasionally, Rasmussen will have him in positive numbers or close, but Gallup, Fox News, The Economist, even CNN, ABC, USA Today with the Pew Group, and NBC have him in negative numbers. ABC's most recent poll has him down by 14%. Positive, approval, 41, disapproval, 55. Now, it's very hard for somebody to maintain the ability to govern effectively when most of the people don't want them. A very recent poll showed that 71% of those who voted for Barack Obama regret having done so, which is pretty interesting, don't you think, Richard? My brother Dick is on the phone. Dick, how are you doing?
I'm good. Yeah, I... Yeah, I can't imagine why anybody would have voted for him, but then again, I guess I'm in a league of my own up here in New England, because we are very much in, I can't even remember her name. I just try to forget it, our senator. That
Warren.
Elizabeth Warren. Lizzie Warren, or our whatever, they have some names for her up here, but
since we're on the air, we'll digress from that particular thing. As a friend of mine told me a couple of days ago, we're going to use our nice language today, Jack. Our positive words, knowing being Irish from Boston, we can string them together, can't we, brother?
Oh, absolutely. Right. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Is Mitch with us?
Mitch isn't yet. He's supposed to be.
Okay.
And that's Mitch Swan, and he is running for the 10th Republican district in Georgia. And he was the last one in, full colonel in the Marine Corps. Known Mitch well. He's a good guy. He has real ideas, and he has
retired. Retired.
Well, no, he's reserve.
Yeah, well, he can't run for office if he's active duty.
Well, not active duty. But,
right,
but,
exactly.
And if he's elected, he will be a congressman and he will no longer be in the Marine Corps.
Right.
But he is in the reserves until the election is over. And our hope, since there are six people, is that he will either win outright, but I doubt it, but that they'll have a runoff. You've got to have 50% or more, and I cannot imagine with six candidates running that you could possibly, anybody could have 50%. But
right,
we'll see.
Exactly.
If it's a runoff, then, you know, and he's in it, then we'll see some more money come in. The thing is that, you know, Mitch is, he spent his life and his career serving the nation in the military and has not run for office before. Most of the people that are running are really decent people, but they're career politicians. And, you know, Mitch is, you know, a cut above and very different than, you know, than some of the others that are running. At the same time, there are some other really critical races that are going on, and one of them is the Republican candidate for the Senate in Georgia. Saxby Chambliss is retiring, and he was there for two terms, 12 years. I remember Max Cleland was the senator when Saxby ran, and Max had been in, at least two terms, and he was a Vietnam war vet who lost three of his limbs. Now, I know Max real well. He lives in the same apartment building, that same high-rise. I see him down at the pool, you know, regularly. A really, really good guy. Terrible senator. You know, I like the guy. He talks about, you know, all the great stuff that Barack Obama's doing, and I think, you know, he must not have a brain in his head. But at the same, I mean, I shouldn't say that. He's a smart guy. But, you know, he just has this allegiance to the Democratic Party that seems so unbelievable, and I see this in people. And, you know, and there are those that say that, you know, well, you know, Jack, you're just a diehard Republican, which is absolutely not true. I want candidates who aren't corrupt, who aren't corruptible, who have integrity, who believe in the rule of law, who recognize that our nation was founded upon religious freedom, and it was positive towards Christianity. Now, you know, we don't have, and that makes us extremists anymore, Dick.
I guess so.
How does that work? I don't get that. I don't get that that would work even at all.
Well, the fact that I don't like him makes me a sexist. And the fact that I don't like Obama, that makes me a racist. But I do like Condoleezza Rice, so maybe I'm going to make it back on both veins, I guess.
Well, you know, they like to call us names and try and make us think that we aren't. And here's something that I have thought about and thought about quite a bit, and that is this. Our ancestors came from Ireland in the 1890s. We didn't have anything to do with slavery. We didn't have anything to do with segregation. You know, they were all in Illinois, and, you know, we grew up in Massachusetts. That stuff was all gone. I don't have to feel guilty just because I'm a white person for all of the evils of slavery. We didn't have anything to do with it. If anything, we were oppressed by the British for 800 years. Indentured servants. You know what that is? Close to slavery. So why is it that I have to somehow feel guilty for things that you know, the descendants of English people did, you know, centuries earlier? I don't. And I won't let somebody put that on me. And I think that people who, you know, who are immigrants from Poland, Italy, Greece, Ireland, Germany, Sweden, all of those nations, they don't have anything to be, you know, to feel guilty about. We had nothing to do with it. Our ancestors didn't. But, you know, there's this thing that somehow, you know, let me just be candid here. If you got a bad marriage, your spouse wants to blame you for everything, whether it's right or not. If you're codependent and a fool, you'll accept blame for things that you didn't do. I remember having, you know, being in a marriage, you know, with a woman who was committing adultery and said it was my fault she was doing it. I thought, how does that work? We don't have the same thing. And, you know, people don't want to talk about subjects like this. They just refuse to do so. But we're going to, because people don't need to accept the responsibility for things they had nothing to do with. And they want us to just kind of like, it's okay. We need to feel bad. We need to do this. We need to do that. And, you know, the places where people say, well, you know what, everybody has a right to work, are doing really well. Those would be places like Texas, Georgia, Florida, South Carolina, Ohio. Oh, yeah, these are the places where they have the Republican governors, you know, Louisiana, Indiana, that are allowing people to just do what they want to do. Everybody. The places that are broke, that are going to need bailouts, are Illinois, California, Michigan, particularly with Detroit, and New York, where all of these, tax and spend progressives have made the entire state insolvent. We can't live like that. So what do we need to do? We need to elect guys like Mitch. I don't guess he's going to be able to make it. Something must have come up, and that's fine, because he's got to win this. He's got to win this election. It's important. But the key to everything is to have 51 Republicans to get rid of Harry Reid, because as long as Harry Reid runs the Senate, nothing will get done, and he will sustain every single thing that Barack Obama does, so that you know, our country will continue to go downhill. So that means the toss-up states. There are 46 Republican seats that are pretty solid, and we have to have 51, because you can't have 50-50. 50-50 means that Joe Biden would be the deciding vote, and he would go with Harry Reid and the Democrats, and they'd run it again. So we've got to pick up five. They're calling Georgia a toss-up state because Sam Nunn's daughter, Michelle, is running, and they think that she's the best candidate that the Democrats have. I cannot imagine that we would turn around and elect her in this state. But, you know, it may be a hard fight because there are, like, six Republicans that are running. And, you know, I've got to vote tomorrow, and I really haven't made up my mind yet. There are three that I, you know, that I think very highly of, and I'm not sure which one to go with. North Carolina, we've got to take it. They're calling Kentucky a toss-up state. Now, that's Mitch McConnell state, and he's the leader of the Republicans in the Senate. Cannot believe that they're going to elect somebody and take away the leadership from Mitch McConnell, because that would be such a boon for the state of Kentucky. Iowa is a toss-up state. They even have Michigan as a toss-up state. Who knows about that? They have Minnesota as a safe state for the Democrats with, what's his name from Saturday Night Live?
Frank.
I'm a nice person, and doggone it, people like me.
Al Franken.
Arkansas and Louisiana both need to go for the Republicans. So here's what I'm looking at. In order to get to that 51 number, Georgia, 1, North Carolina, 2, Louisiana, 3, Arkansas, 4, Kentucky, 5, Alaska, 6, and either Iowa or Colorado, 7. But all we need is 5, and I count 6 that I think are going to happen. And if it does, then Barack Obama is going to be in such a situation that he's not going to be able to sustain what he's doing. It just isn't going to happen. And the investigations of who he is and what he's done are going to increase, and the last 2 years, his ability to, well, I'm going to just do this by presidential decree, he won't have the base to do that, not with low 40s in approval.
What has he done of late?
I mean, I think about all, I can't in all of my years remember so many scandals happening at the same time. And every time when you think, oh, well, the IRS, the NSA, Benghazi, and then all of a sudden the VA pops up. Oh, my God. And I'm hearing that when Bush left, they told the Obama administration that the VA was there was complications and it needed to be addressed immediately. That was 6 years ago, and everything that has transpired since when, the end of April with the VA and all of these hospitals and all of the I call them death squads, saying, you know, put these guys on a different list because we're not going to do anything with them. And we haven't heard a word from him. I mean, he told us he was very proud of Sam, the football player, coming out as gay, and he made sure he said something about Sterling when it had to do with the NBA. But the VA, I mean, this is a federal administrative office, and he hasn't said word one. He sends somebody else that says he's madder than hell. Well, where is he? What's going on? I can't for the life of me think of why this guy has done anything. I did hear that he went out and played golf yesterday, so I guess he's not as mad as maybe we think he is.
Well, he was outraged over Benghazi and wouldn't rest until the people who had done it were brought to justice, and there hasn't been one thing done yet, period. I mean, he was outraged over the IRS and that the very idea that people would be targeted because beliefs was, you know, fundamentally wrong and un-American, and he was outraged. But so far, nothing has really happened about this. And, you know, they've just spun their wheels. When, you know, when Congress asked for the emails of Lois Lerner, all of them. You know, the IRS said, well, it would take them 2 years to, you know, to get all of that and to comply until, you know, they threatened to hold off funding for some things. And then they had all of those emails over to them in 2 days. So, you know, this whole stonewalling and obstruction of justice. I mean, the attorney general, the top law enforcement officer in the country, has been held in contempt of Congress twice. This is, of all the things go ahead.
The woman that was just fired from the New York Times said for the amount of time that she was there, and of course the years that she spent in journalism, that the most secretive administration that she has ever come across has been the Obama administration. They stonewall you on everything. And this was the guy that stood up there and told everybody how transparent his administration was going to be.
Well, if you that's very similar to a philanderer standing up and telling, you know, a woman that, you know, that he's the most faithful man that there ever was, and she believes him. This is just, you know, lie the most about your weakest spot. So, you know, and that being the case, it just makes it to where you've got no place to go. And there are people that want to, I mean, you want to believe the President of the United States when he says something. I mean, our whole lives we've wanted to believe the president. I mean, not believing him, it just kind of goes against the grain. And it's a terrible, terrible thing that, you know,
that at one point you believed him, and then at another point it finally reached that point where you said, I don't believe a damn thing that he says. And I don't know about you, but that didn't take that long a period of time for us to decide that, you know, you really can't trust this guy. He just does not tell the truth.
Well, honestly, I didn't believe him from the time that he was a member of Jeremiah Wright's church for 20 years. And the things that Jeremiah Wright said, you know, about the United States and everything, and Barack Obama said, well, I didn't hear that. I must have missed that message or whatever. I mean, you know, the guy has a pattern of what he has said for 20 years. And, you know, when he wasn't about that. So, the what? Yes, America. Not God bless America, but, you know, God damn America, it's in the Bible. That's what he said. And you know, they have it on tape. I mean, you know, it was played over and over and over again. And, you know, Barack Obama said, well, I wasn't there when he said that. I've never heard anything like that. And, you know, and of course, it was just not true. And the media just, you know, didn't play that up. If that had happened and it had been a Republican guy, I mean, he would have been crucified. But, some of these people have a vested interest in, they want him to be successful, but it isn't going to happen. Here's my thought. I'm really happy that Barack Obama is who he is. Let me explain that. We are going to have a very liberal, progressive president at some point. What if the person had been competent? What if the person had been truthful? What if the person had been fair-minded and open, and it would admit mistakes and things like that? Where would we be? Because there is nothing positive going to happen for Barack Obama in the future. The mainstream media has been repudiated, and people don't even listen to them anymore. The people, you know, either listen to conservative talk show hosts and Fox, their news, you know, from Comedy Central and, you know, The Daily Show and things like that, or even you know, The Tonight Show and you know, and David Letterman. The ratings for the, you know, for the big powerhouses, the New York Times, the Washington Post, NBC, CNN, you know, the evening shows, CBS, they are very low. And it's because they don't cover things that are important. For example, when John Boehner made the select committee, you know, appointing Trey Gowdy, and said that, you know, we're going to have a major investigation of Benghazi, we need to have the answers. That's big news. It wasn't even reported on ABC, CBS, NBC, or CNN. None of them even reported it. So the people that watch that wouldn't even know. Pretty amazing, if you ask me. I mean, I just don't. I don't get how people can be that cavalier with what the news really is. It just doesn't make sense. Do you agree?
Oh, absolutely. And it is so one-sided, but, you know, I think maybe in the last 2 months and progressively more in the last month and then the last few weeks that even some of these people with Jay Carney outside of the Fox people are starting to ask some pointed questions that they had never asked before, because they need to get answers to things that are totally in need of being asked. So they,
you know, the White House correspondent for ABC has been really stellar about that, and Major Garrett from CBS and a couple of others, and it's just kind of like, okay. But that has not filtered to the major newsrooms yet, and to the people that, you know, that produce these shows, and like, we need to say things about this, and it's because they, you know, they want Obama to be the first successful black president, and he's not. Has nothing to do with him being black or white, nothing. Has to do with him being corrupt, incompetent, and deeply deceitful, which he is. So thank God that he is like that, because it's going to, the things that he's done will be short-lived, and, you know, as you can see with the Obamacare. At any rate, we're out of time, and, you know, we don't have to worry about talking about hockey anymore, because the Bruins, as they have most of our life, have taken the gas to the Montreal Canadiens. And so it will be a long summer for Patrice Bergeron and, Brad Marchand and Tuca and all the rest of them. And we just say, you know, thank you for what you gave us, but it's all over now. So let me say this. God bless you, Dick. God bless the United States of America, and go out and vote tomorrow. Good night.